Greetings and welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we continue our study of Romans chapter 3 on this Friday, June 10. Thank you for joining us for the Beacon Broadcast. And thus far, we have learned that there are some very important and searching implications from the doctrine of justification by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Some that are sometimes overlooked and not even considered at all by people who believe in Christ as Savior and believe that salvation is by faith in Him. But Paul is setting forth an argument in the last part of Romans chapter 3 from the nature of God Himself and the way of salvation, and applying it to practices of discrimination. From the nature of God, meaning that God is one God, and He is the only God, and He is the all-encompassing God, and He is therefore the God of everyone alike. Therefore, no discrimination. And even, perhaps more importantly, the way of salvation, which is by faith, not by race, not by Jewishness, not by circumcision, not by covenants for a particular people, that some people belong to that group and others don't. But nope, salvation is now by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, and God saves all who come to Christ by faith. Whether circumcised or uncircumcised, He justifies the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. And therefore, God has demonstrated that He is no respecter of persons in this way, and He expects His people to also be no respecter of persons in this way. No discrimination. Now, lest you think that I'm stretching the point and belaboring the point a bit on this, I want to take you to the passage in Galatians chapter 2 that is a practical illustration from the life of the Apostle Paul and the early church to what Paul is teaching in Romans chapter 3. And Paul is relating an incident out of his life when he says in Galatians 2:11, "But when Peter was come to Antioch," so the location that we're talking about is Antioch, the church at Antioch, and one of the major figures in this is Peter, an apostle. "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I," said Paul, "withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed." Here is an interesting situation. One apostle publicly confronting another apostle. "I withstood him to his face, because he was to be blamed." That's not a very pretty picture. One apostle of Christ publicly confronting and scolding another apostle of Jesus Christ, dressing Peter down in public before the church. "Well, why did you do that, Paul?" Well, here's the reason. Verse 12. "For before that certain came from James, he," that is Peter, "did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he," that is Peter, "withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision." Get the picture? Peter, the apostle, is ministering in the church at Antioch. He's there on temporary assignment, but he's there for a period of time. And while he's there, he's preaching and teaching to them and eating with them and fellowshipping with them. And he's not discriminating between Jew and Gentile. They're all Christians. They're all one in the body of Christ. And so He's eating with the Gentiles, which means, of course, he's eating the foods that Gentiles eat, which is not the kosher diet that Jews under the Old Covenant ate, but, of course, we're now under the New Covenant. Peter, of all people, knows that. He saw the vision, the sheet let down from heaven, which said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." He said, "Not so, Lord," but the voice said, "Don't you call common or unclean that which I have cleansed?" It's all over now. New Covenant. No discrimination in foods, and no discrimination according to race. The whole point of the sheet, of course, was go to Cornelius, the Gentile, preach the gospel to him. And Peter recognized that there was more involved in this than simply preaching the gospel, because he recognized that when people believe the gospel, they must be received as equal members of the body of Christ. Can't discriminate any longer. And he practiced what he knew to be true until some came from James, that is, came up from the church in Jerusalem, who were Jews by race, who professed to believe in Jesus Christ, but they were of the circumcision, and they were adopting a different posture. And what were they doing? Well, they were saying, Jews shouldn't eat with Gentiles. Jewish Christians shouldn't eat with Gentile Christians. Jewish Christians must keep a kosher table, and if Gentiles refuse to keep a kosher table, then you must withdraw and separate yourself from them. In other words, the price for Gentiles being admitted into the full fellowship of the church is that they must give up their traditional Gentile diet and adopt the traditional Jewish diet. And Peter knew that wasn't true, but he succumbed to the pressure of these people. That's what Paul is saying here. I'll read it again. Galatians 2:11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him. The other Jews played the part of the hypocrite with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation, their hypocrisy. That obviously stung Paul more than any other, because Barnabas was his close companion in the gospel and had gone with him to preach the gospel to Gentiles and had planted Gentile churches and had eaten Gentile food. But, verse 14, when I saw that they, and listen to me now, here's the key, when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles, as you previously did, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? That was the point of this withdrawal, this separation, was to pressure the Gentiles to live like the Jews, to submit themselves to Jewish dietary regulations. And Paul said, this is not walking uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. And some would say, well, what has that got to do with the gospel? I understand that it has to do with diet. I understand that it has to do with separation issues. I understand that it has to do with fellowship, but I don't understand what it has to do with the gospel. Then you don't understand what Paul's talking about in Romans chapter 3. There are implications of the doctrine of justification. The way of salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, and the implication is that all who come to God that way are equal members of the body of Christ and are to be treated equally and received equally, and we don't add other things, other requirements, to faith in Christ as the price for full fellowship, as the price for admission into the highest levels of Christian fellowship, which is what they were doing, the Jews were doing at Antioch. They were saying, well, there are two different levels of Christians here, the most dedicated ones and the less dedicated ones, the most separated ones and the less separated ones, the most obedient ones and the less obedient ones. We believe in salvation by faith in Christ, but we also practice the dietary regulations given by God to Moses. And if these Gentile Christians want to be admitted into our fellowship, they've got to do the same. It's up to them. They can enjoy our full fellowship if they want to, but here's the price. They've got to keep a kosher table. If they won't, then we won't admit them to our full fellowship. We won't give them the same privileges that we give those who do believe in Christ and keep a kosher diet. And Paul said, that's not walking uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. The truth of the gospel is that all who believe in Jesus Christ are full members of the body of Christ and are to be treated accordingly by every other member of the body of Christ. You can't add things to the gospel. You say, well, I'm not adding anything to the gospel. I'm just adding things to Christian practice, Christian behavior, what I think is proper Christian conduct. But if you add those things and make them necessary requirements for Christian fellowship, you have, in effect, added them to the gospel, even though you deny to your dying day that that's what you're doing. Paul said that really is what you're doing. You may not see it that way. You may not recognize it that way. But I, the Apostle Paul, tell you that's what you're doing. And when Peter confronted them in Antioch, the other apostles and Christians and Jewish Christians eventually admitted that he was right. That is what they were doing. And that was improper. That was a form of discrimination. And that's not allowable. You see, the nature of God and the way of salvation say that you can't do that. What is the way of salvation? By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone? Or is it by grace through faith in Christ plus practicing circumcision, practicing Jewish dietary laws, adding a few other things? Oh, no. I'm not saying that that's necessary for salvation, but I'm saying that that's necessary to be part of my fellowship. Well, that boils down ultimately to the same thing, even though you stubbornly refuse to admit that it's the same thing. It is the same thing. Either salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, in which case everybody who comes to God that way is my Christian brother, and I am to receive him into my fellowship without adding other requirements, or if I can't receive him into my fellowship without adding other requirements, then the gospel must be that there are additional requirements besides faith in Christ to becoming a Christian. You see? That's what the whole point here is. And it is a gospel issue. I saw that they walk not uprightly according to the gospel. It is an implication from the doctrine of justification. The doctrine of justification has some very practical ramifications for the way we live, the way we fellowship, and who we admit into the membership of our churches. No discrimination. No discrimination. You can't discriminate against people because they don't practice everything. You're free to practice kosher dietary laws if you want to at home. That's your Christian liberty, but don't impose them upon the church. Don't impose them upon others. Don't act as if that's necessary for true Christianity, for proper Christianity, for the highest level of Christianity. No, that's just a preference. You can do it in private, but don't impose that upon your Christian brother, or that's a violation of the gospel. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his internal peace.